little bit of summer rain didn't hurt us too much last night, did it? Nah, although it did make it a little bit more humid, but we will survive. Welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. Well, we're going to be digging into God's Word in just a moment, and to help you study with us, I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and come forward at this time. They're going to pass out Bibles. If you're in need of a Bible this morning, perhaps you need one, left yours at home, whatever the case might be, raise your hand. We count it a privilege to give you a Bible. If you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. In just a moment, we'll get into our text, but just one on the heels of what Tim shared, we have arrived. Vacation Bible School has arrived. What an awesome week it's going to be. And so we encourage you to be in prayer. Bring out the kids, invite neighbors and coworkers, their kids and all. Promise to be a great week. And if you could be of any help, be it this afternoon or throughout the week, just come out and be a part of that. Let Sally know and the others know. Because, we just hope that we end up by Friday night. I know we'll end up tired, but let's hope we end up tired blessed. And I believe we will be. And certainly we pray the kids will be much blessed by this coming week. So come out and be a part of our VBS. We are traveling through the Bible together. And we are in the book of Leviticus. Turn to Leviticus chapter 13, that third book of the Bible, Leviticus 13. While you're turning there, let me just mention two things. My wife, Kathy, is not here this morning. She's not feeling well. I say that so I don't have to answer that like 10 times at the door. And so now you know she's not here. She's under the weather this morning. Secondly, the building continues to be in various states of remodel. You did notice those custom walls on the way in, right? No, they're not going to stay that way, but... Anyway, just want to once again say thank you for your flexibility and putting up with all the changes and the rooms. We understand the kids' rooms are not in the best of shape with everything moved around in there, but hang in there. Within a few weeks, they're telling me, things should be getting back to what it's going to be. And so hang in there. Thank you for your flexibility and all of that. Are you in Leviticus 13? Put your Bible there. I mean, not your Bible, your marker in your Bible. Put your bulletin right there, or a Bible ribbon, whatever you have to mark it. Because first of all, we're actually going to begin with a text in the New Testament. Go to Luke chapter 17, but make sure you put something in each of those, because we're going to look at both. Luke chapter 17. Well-known event, well-known situation, but I pray we would not take it for granted. Luke 17. Let's jump in at verse 11. Luke 17, 11. Now it happened as he, this is speaking of Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let's go ahead and stop right there for just a moment. I know you're tempted to read on, but let's stop there for just a moment. I want us to consider this whole event. I want us to think about who stood before Jesus that day. We're told that there are 10 lepers. Now, to better understand who this is that Jesus is facing here and what he does next, it's going to help us to look into our other text for this morning. So, now again, leave a Bible ribbon or bulletin or something right there. Got it marked? Go back to Leviticus 13 now. Jesus has met these 10 lepers. In a moment, we'll read what he does about it. But let's look at the context. Let's consider what it would have been like to be a leper and to encounter Jesus. Leviticus 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and he becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of his sons, the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. And if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. As we come to Leviticus, we, of course, have been studying through the various commands and instructions of how they to worship the Lord. It talks about the offerings they were to bring and all. And as we know, throughout the law, it addresses things like the eating habits and things they could eat and all. Well, here we get to, in the chapters 13 and 14, both very long chapters, really, addresses the subject of leprosy. So this begins a section that is set apart for the diagnosis of leprosy and what they were to do if they found that in someone. So it goes on like that for a number of verses. Now go to verse 45. Basically, this is the bottom line as to what they were to do. It's all they could do. It's a communicable disease. They had great concern about it. And the Lord tells them, verse 45, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." If you had lived at this time, and on up through the time of Jesus, it would not have been uncommon to have heard, perhaps you're traveling from one village to another, making your way along, wherever it might be, to hear all of a sudden the cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" And because you're taught from very young what that meant, that this was someone announcing they had leprosy, very communicable disease at that time. And you would know that, and you're right away, what? You would look for who was saying this, because the goal would be to avoid this person. Steer clear of them. Now, they were supposed to steer clear of you. They had to announce, "Unclean, unclean." And they had to stay a certain distance away and all. And you would make sure that you also stayed away from them and went to the other side of the street or whatever. Unclean, unclean. Announcing to everybody your condition, your status, what you're about. That which has changed everything for you, that which has impacted you so heavily, unclean. And so you would probably have looked, who's saying that? I want to make sure I avoid, who's saying that? Well, this morning, as you look to see who's saying unclean, look really close. Look really close at the one who's saying unclean. How unclean were we? How lost were we? How dead in sins were we? See, if you look real close at this one, you might just recognize him. How far back we have to look and say, you know what? That was me. You look real close, you might just see us. I've called our time together this morning from unclean to clean. Let's pray. Father, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were lost, separated from you, Lord. We were, some maybe just recently, some way back, but still there was that time when, if we looked close, it was us, unclean, unclean, but you. Father, you sent your Son. You sent your Son to proclaim not just our ailment, but your answer. How we thank you. I pray this morning, you'd stir us once again to this. Help us not to tune out. Help us not to say, "Oh, I've heard it 100 times. Lord, refresh us, strengthen us, encourage us, comfort us to know what it means that you've taken us. For all who received, you've taken us from once being those who said unclean to now clean. Oh, thank you for that. Lead us through this time, we pray. Prepare our hearts to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we see here in Leviticus 13, the person who was diagnosed with leprosy, he had his whole life changed at that point. It was a diagnosis that would change everything. He had to leave his family. The person had to leave his wife. He would have to leave his friends. He was cast out of the community. No more going to the market. No more hanging out with friends. How's it going? No more going to the synagogue. None of those things. He now had to go outside the city, go outside the camp. And he was going to have to stay there until his condition, if ever, changed. So now he lives outside the camp with other outcasts and the only people that he could hang out with. And again, he could never come back in that condition. But that's not all that was involved. Because not only is there that aspect, the separation from relationships and all, but there was the actual disease that this diagnosis has pointed out. The effects of leprosy on the body are horrible. It is a very horrible, disfiguring disease. It's known to kill the nerves. Because of that, a person who had leprosy, they couldn't feel what's going on. They could have their hand on a hot stove or a flame and not even know it. So all of a sudden they saw or started to smell something. They wouldn't even know it. they would begin to lose extremities, fingers, toes, begin to eat away the nose. You become very, very disfigured. And we see that if a healthy person came anywhere around this person who has leprosy, they had to yell out a warning, unclean, unclean, to warn of the presence of the disease. What a life. What a condition to be in. But you know what? As horrible as leprosy is, the Bible teaches us we all had an even greater disease. For you see, in Scripture, leprosy became a type of, it came to represent sin and its effects upon a person. As I said, leprosy is a very horrible disease. The person becomes very disfigured. And it came to represent sin in Scripture probably because of just that, because of those attributes I just spoke about. Because sin also rots and disfigures the soul. It begins to eat away, eat up the life of the one in which sin is ruling and reigning in. Leprosy kills the nerve so that the person doesn't even feel what's happening to them. Sin is just like that. It can begin to make us more and more numb to what's happening to us, distorts our take on things. We deny and say, no, I'm okay. I can handle it. It's not really messing me up. But the person's senses do indeed become dull. They begin to have very poor judgment. They make tons of bad choices, and it eats them up. And so that's why I probably became a type of, or it pointed to, the leprosy, if you will, of sin, the spiritual leprosy of sin. But God doesn't stop there and just saying, here's what happens if someone has it. Now look at chapter 14 of Leviticus. Remember I said 13 and 14 are about how the priests and all were to deal with leprosy. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And then it goes on to talk about what the priest should do to verify that the person has been cleansed. But wait a minute. In our day today, they have come up with cures, treatments for leprosy. Leprosy today is called Hansen's disease after the doctor who discovered the bacteria that causes it. But here in our text, we read something awesome. For you see, in that day, there was no known cure, and it was a very infectious disease. And yet God puts in place what a person was to do if they were healed, cleansed of leprosy. Now, this Hebrew word translated leprosy did probably cover leprosy, but most agree, because if you read through it, you'll see it applies to other kinds of diseases that were of concern. But as I said, in that day, it was incurable. And even though they may have come up with some treatments for it today, the point still holds. And the idea here is God, and how interesting, God putting in place a provision for healing that was naturally impossible. What's God doing there? God was putting in place the provision for him to supernaturally work. He was putting in place what they were going to do when he would do what only he could do. So what was the result? Chapter 14, verse 9. But on the seventh day, this speaks of the procedure they were to go to be identified as clean. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair of his head and his beard and his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water. In other words, get rid of all that, and he shall be clean. Now think what that meant to this person. Think what it means to you. Have you gotten used to your forgiveness? Have we gotten kind of used to what we used to be like? Have we gotten used to the journey from unclean to clean in God's eyes? And what it means that he did that for us. Think of this person who would go from unclean to clean, restored now back to his family. That's a big deal. Restored back into community. Restored back with his friends. He can now get going back to the synagogue and all. No longer an outcast. What a rejoicing there must have been. Just the physical healing and the relational healing. I wonder if he walked around after that. I mean, all that time he had to walk around going, unclean, unclean, look out, stay away from me, unclean. I wonder if now he walks around going, clean, clean, come on over, give me a hug, I'm clean. We came to the Lord unclean. We walk away from him, not, you know what I mean, walk away from that encounter. We leave the encounter with seeking his forgiveness by what? Clean, clean, healed, cleansed, restored. You can say amen anytime you want. Because this is it. But it's awesome. But we get used to it. Don't be used to it. It's my privilege to proclaim that we can proclaim clean. Clean. Well, that's one reason why the events of Luke 17 are so interesting. Turn back there now. Remember I told you to keep your place there. Go back to Luke 17 again. Let's finish it in this context. So there they are. They're in the state still of they have the leprosy. They have to stand afar, it tells us. They have to lift up their voices, unclean, unclean. But now Jesus is coming by. It's their opportunity. They're not going to miss out. So they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now we pick it up in verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. See, that's in conjunction with Leviticus 13 and 14. There was a procedure to go through to get it verified. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus marvels. Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 now restored to family and friends and back into life? Is there only one who will give thanks? Well, apparently 9 did not. How could they not give glory to God? How could we not? How can we ever take it for granted? I pray that none of us be found taking this for granted. But having said that, think about this. You remember I earlier said that leprosy is a type of, it points to, it's an example of sin. How it's a spiritual disease. And that we all had it. And we were all dead spiritually because of it. Not just sick, but dead. Interesting, my wife Kathy's been reading a book. Now, I can't speak to the accuracy of this so much, but the author was making the point. The author's saying from his studies, as he looked at the cultures of the time of Jesus in that first century, he said that really Paul and them would not have had to spend a whole lot of time convincing people they were sinners. For as he's looked at even the pagan religions and all that day, so many of the pagan idols and all, he makes the case for, so many of the pagan idols and all, people came up with them because in general, people felt there were all these gods who were out to get them. That they deserved punishment from all these gods. So all these idols were somehow to forestall judgment and the bad consequences coming upon them. So they had all these false gods trying to protect themselves from that. So their view is distorted, wrong, that there's all these different gods. There's only one God. But the point of the author is, but they had that mindset. They understood that they fell far short of what they should be, what God would have them to be. That there was that nature. And so Paul wouldn't have had to convince people that much. He could kind of say it and get right to the answer. Well, now here we are some 20 centuries later, and it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Because we've come to a time when people are so taught that we are basically good. I'm okay. You're okay. We work so hard at pumping up each other's self-esteems. That you suggest someone's a sinner today, and someone's like, oh, what are you talking about? That's weird, man. What's that about? I remember one time I was actually speaking and a woman came up to me afterwards and she let me know how offended she was that I would suggest that she's a sinner. She did. How dare you say that? How dare you say I'm a sinner? I'm going, well, I didn't say that. God's. But see, if you don't know you got the ailment, you don't want the cure. You don't appreciate the cure. And if we stood up here just saying, you've got it, too bad, that wouldn't be very good news, would it? But we have a good news to declare. We got the problem, but God's got the answer. But today, sometimes you got to start. See, I wonder, maybe you're visiting or you've come here a while, but maybe you kind of doubt it. You doubt that diagnosis that we have within us, that sin nature, that we are by nature separated from God and needs cleansing, need forgiveness. Well, this is God's declaration, Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Ephesians 2:1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were kind of sick. We were dead. So that's what I meant at the beginning. If you were to go back in your life at some point, if you haven't received of Christ, it's you today. If you have, but at some point you hadn't, at that point, if you looked real close, that was you. Unclean. That was me. Unclean before God. And nothing I or you could do about it. A dead person doesn't need a good pep talk. A dead person can't do anything for themselves. If help doesn't come from outside, it's not going to change. And that was our condition. Unclean, lost, and nothing I or you could do about it. But if you sit here born again, if you sit here having received what Jesus did on the cross, if you receive Jesus as Savior, then we need to remember and realize and celebrate what happened at that very moment. Something far greater than what happened for the lepers. See, we went from death to life. Well, there it is. Death to life. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. Cleansing of what separated us. Cleansing of what ailed us. We now get to declare clean. Clean. I was at a get-together last Sunday night, a little going-away get-together for Jen. Where are you? Is she here? Didn't I see her? Oh, way down front. There you are. Yeah. She's still here. Long goodbye. She's still saying. But we went to a little get-together that night. Well, it doesn't need to matter who it was, but one of the guys there, somebody who is a good friend and attends here, he was coming over to me and he said, you know, Pastor Dale, I noticed when you teach, particularly going through the Old Testament and all, that you fairly quickly bring in the gospel. You know, we get into it, but you pretty much, your pattern is you go in and you bring Jesus into all this. And I'm guilty. But he was saying it in a favorable way. But yeah, that's where I come from. I remember reading one time Charles Spurgeon, I believe, he said this. He said, when he teaches the Old Testament, he says he goes to the text, reads it, and then he makes a beeline for Jesus. And that's kind of what I do. I really heavily identify with Jesus walking with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it says he opened it up and he began way back at what we call the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and he taught about himself through it all. It shows how he's woven through it all. See, it's not just meant to be a history lesson. But it's written for our good, for our edification and all. And so even in this, well, it's about this lepers and stuff and cleansing and all. Because it's a type of what God has done for us. It shows our need and his answer. And so, yeah, I make a beeline right for it. Because now we get to say what? Clean, clean. Turn to your left. You're in Luke. Go to Luke 5. You're in Luke 17. Just turn over a little bit there. Go to Luke 5. I want to read about one other occasion of healing a leper. Luke chapter 5. Go to verse 12. Luke 5, 12. And it happened when he, again, this is Jesus, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy. See, it's common enough that we see a number of occasions this happens. A man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face. He implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest. See, this is Leviticus 13 and 14. And make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Go verify it in the way that God told you to. So you can get back there and be part of your family and all. Go do that. But notice what it says. This man was full of leprosy. How full were we of sin? It was our very nature. We had a sin nature to the core. We were full of it. And just as it would have marked and disfigured him, so were we, spiritually speaking. And what does Jesus do? Here's this man that's probably ravaged by it. Certainly not a pretty sight. And their culture, you wouldn't even go near him, much less touch him. Verse 13. See, the man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Verse 13. And Jesus said, I'm not willing. Get out of here. What if he said that? And we wouldn't be here this morning, would we? We'd be in big trouble. But no, he says, then he put out his hand and touched him. Touched him. How long had it been since someone other than a leper touched him? But God incarnate touches us in our pain, in our hurt, in our lost condition. He reaches out and does what only he can do. He touched him. I am willing. Be cleansed. Have you let him say that to you? Did you let him say that to you? Did you cry out? Did you confess your condition? Comes down to a pretty straightforward thing, huh? Lost, dead, needing his touch. Lord, I need it. And he goes, and I'll give it. Have you let him? Have you cried out for his touch? Because when he does, immediately the leprosy. You don't get saved in pieces, step by step. If you're saved, you're saved as you'll ever be. Your healings are going to be. And it's complete because of the cross, because of the efficiency of the blood, because of what he accomplished. It is finished. Gone. Not a drop of leprosy. And spiritually speaking, not it's gone, cleansed. Thank God for that. For all of his uncleanness, for all of his distorted appearance, it didn't turn Jesus off. If you're here this morning and haven't received of Christ, it's not, oh, I've got to get better, then I can come to him. Let me get my act together first. You can't do that. It won't work. It doesn't push him away. Jesus didn't turn his head or his heart from this one in need. Jesus just said, I'm willing. And he touched him. You know, back in Leviticus 13, you have to turn there, but back in our original verses there, Leviticus 13, verse 3, it says to go to the priest, and it says there that the priest will examine the person coming. You know, that's all the priest could do. It mentions it several times in that chapter, how they would come and the priest would look upon this person, would examine the person to make the diagnosis. Though we live in a time now that science has come to know more and develop treatments and all, again, the point remains the same. All the priest could do in that time was to declare the existence of leprosy. Examine them and say, yep, you got it. He could do nothing to alleviate the condition. The case remains the same for sin. All we can do is declare its existence. We have no power in us to remove that spiritual leprosy called sin. But there came one in the fullness of time who could not only diagnose the problem, but he is the very one who is the answer for it. He's the one who can touch and cleanse us, and his name is Jesus. From unclean to clean, believer, you sit here having made the most important change that's ever happened, but not because you earned it or deserve it. See, it's about the transforming power and grace of God in our lives. That's what makes us clean. Again, we don't earn it, you don't work for it. And you know what? You don't work for it or deserve it to get it, and you don't do it to maintain it. Believer, even now, the stain of sin will crop up. All of a sudden, First John says, if we say we have no sin, it's spoken to believers. If we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us. Even as believers, we stumble, we sin. But he says what? But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's still rooted in his grace. You didn't earn it to get it, and you don't earn it to maintain it. Oh, that we'd know the character of God from all this. And rest in the character of God and not us. They'd be strong in him. So when the trials come, when anything comes, we'd be strong in him and it wouldn't totally throw us. So this is meant to point to the greatness of our God. And again, of his power and his grace. I just pray we'll all lay hold of that and rejoice in it. This morning, if you have not received Christ as Savior, the call to receive Christ is not a call to give money, not a call to join a church. That's not how you're cleansed of what ails you. But you need to see, first of all, that just as this man was full of leprosy, we're full of sin. It's our very nature. Sin is anything short of God's perfection. And it's that which would keep us separate from him if something's not done about it. Now, it's not just the obvious things. You might sit there and say, well, I haven't killed anybody. I'm glad you haven't killed anybody. But please understand, we look at things we do and call that sin, but please understand, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're already sinners. It's our very nature that's expressing itself so often. So really, what it is the condition of your heart. It's a state of rebellion of saying, I'm going to rule over me instead of God. I think I can do this. I think I can earn it. This morning, if you haven't given the driver's seat of your life to Jesus, then this is you. Please hear it in love. But right now, if you could see spiritually speaking, your spirit would be crying out, unclean, unclean. But I pray you'll also be like these who recognize, this is my chance. Jesus is passing by. And this is my chance. Jesus, have mercy on me. Do for me what I can't do for myself. If you haven't done that, you need to do it. See, it's in his love that God has given the diagnosis because he wants you to know he also has the cure, the cleansing that you need. But you got to know the one to receive the other. Do it today. As we wrap it up, go to the prayer room and get it settled. But now, believer, this was us once too. Don't lose sight of that. Don't wallow in your sin. I'm not trying to rub your nose in your sin. But I want us to understand and rejoice once more that we went from unclean to clean. We walked up to Jesus saying, unclean, unclean. And then we from then on, from his touch, started walking. Maybe walking with him is a better way to put it. We began to walk with him, being able to say, clean, clean. Can you say clean, clean this morning? Tell your neighbor clean that you're clean. If you receive Christ, say clean, clean. You weren't ready for that, were you? Everybody's going, oh, man, we don't do that here. That's kind of weird. No, let it be known. Clean. Clean, not because of me, don't earn it, don't deserve it, but, oh, praise God. I get to now declare clean, all because of the work of the cross. What did Jesus do for this man? Changed everything. What has he done for us? Changed everything. Our destiny, our very purpose, everything. Unclean, unclean. That's the cry. As we came to Jesus, but now we get to go out here declaring clean, clean. I would hope that somewhere in the hallways today out there, or anytime you want to, feel free just to let people clean, clean. Yeah, if they know what you're talking about, they go, what's that guy doing? Huh? That's okay. But proclaim it. It's worth proclaiming. I'm clean now. And rest in that and rejoice in it. And tell others, hey, there's a place of forgiveness. There's a place of healing. There's a place of cleansing. There's a place of finding what you're really looking for. There's one who fills that space that nobody, nothing else can. There's one who will do what you need and only he can, but he will do it. There is a cleansing for what ails us, and his name is Jesus. Tell someone, clean, clean. I can invite the worship team up to wrap us up this morning. Hope you're able to stay after and help with VBS, but if not, we understand. But if you are, that's great. Many hands made for light work. And again, be in prayer this week. Come out and bring the kiddos out, and let's have a blessed week at the VBS. From unclean to clean. What an awesome thing the Lord has done. So it's my privilege to stand up here and just declare that Jesus makes us clean. Amen and hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, what love you've extended to us, poured out upon us, touched us with. Thank you, Father. You sent your Son to not only declare our lost condition, but then to point out your answer. We thank you for the cleansing of sins that we have found in Jesus Christ. How that shed blood washes us white as snow. And thank you that even now, even as believers, we can come. When we sin, we can come and confess that sin, and we will find once again your touch, your restoration, your forgiveness. Thank you for that. Lord, if anybody hasn't received, may this be the day. But for all of us, Lord, I pray that we go out of here just rejoicing and proclaiming from unclean to clean. And may you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.